This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, Rangers are making some moves. We got Jared Sandler set to join us here momentarily. It's the G-Bag Nation on a Cowboys victory Monday. We'll get you to Krusty's Corner here in just a few minutes. Segment's brought to you by Ciroc Vodka and Frankel & Frankel. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first, 214-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And segment's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And now to the D&M Leasing Hotline we go to welcome in our Rangers insider, Jared Sandler. Ladies and gentlemen, Jared, happy holidays to you, man. We were just actually, we were pretty surprised the Christmas and Hanukkah collision course on Christmas Day. This feels like this is kind of historical.
It is. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, this is the first time that this has happened in my lifetime. I was told that this morning that Christmas and Hanukkah, sorry, well, Christmas is obviously always on the 25th, but Hanukkah starting on the 25th is a first in a long time. There has been an overlap before because, you know, apparently years ago, some candles stayed lit for 8 days or whatever. So Hanukkah is 8 days, if you believe that. And, it has overlapped, but the starting point on the 25th, I think, that's a first for at least several years.
Yeah, that's what we were trying to figure out earlier. Somebody was texting in every 15 to 20 years or so, but if it's the first in your lifetime, it's even rarefied than that.
Listen, the Elias Sports Bureau's religious wing is a little off. It's a little primitive. They're still developing. They don't have quite the talent as they do in the various sports, so it is possible that that branch has made an error. I imagine, do you guys ever wonder, has the Elias Sports Bureau ever messed up? Like, have they ever just gotten it wrong? I'm sure they have, right?
Yeah, they have.
No, Elias is dialed.
I'm sure they have.
Dude, Elias is batting 1,000.
Yeah. Is he or she or them?
Them.
That's a good point.
Them.
I think John Blake, Rangers Hall of Famer, told us the story this past year. I mean, there was like an Elias, and I don't remember if it was a husband and wife or two brothers, or maybe I'm just making up that there was more than one person, but the Elias Sports Bureau was started by a Mr. or Mrs., I don't know, an Elias.
Look at that. Yeah. Let me see here.
All the nuggets today.
It was in 1913. Yeah. It was Al Munro Elias and his brother Walter Elias.
There you go. Yeah.
They established it. Thank you, Jared.
They were counting on abacuses back then. And that's how they kept track.
All right, well, let's keep track of what these Rangers are doing because they're making moves all over the place. They just brought in another reliever. We'll get to that. But what'd you make of the Nathaniel Lowe trade, getting back another reliever in Robert Garcia?
Yeah, it seemed like going into the offseason, it seemed like trading Nathaniel Lowe was a possibility. He is, and unfortunately, baseball CBA is such that the contract status for players is maybe not as straightforward as it is for other leagues. So, super baseball fans understand the arbitration process, but the average baseball fan might not. So Nathaniel Lowe was under team control for a couple more years, but through arbitration, and that means essentially that the team, can non-tender him, which means they cut him loose, or, there's a process by which they determine a salary if they want to keep him, and that number was probably going to be, upwards of $10 million and perhaps a little more than what the Rangers want to pay for Nathaniel Lowe with what his skill set is relative to what the team's needs are. And I think it's important to to make that delineation. Nathaniel Lowe's a really good player. I mean, he's in the last few years, in addition to winning a World Series, individually has won a Gold Glove and has won a Silver Slugger Award. He is not your typical first baseman, or at least he doesn't fit the typical prototype of, you know, big power guy. He's actually kind of the antithesis of that. He's more of a patient, I'm going to get on base and make my money by drawing walks and hitting singles the other way. And his power has kind of waned a little bit over the last couple of years. With that said, his overall offensive production was still really strong. But this is a team that struggled against fastballs last year. They also struggled against right-handed pitching. And Nathaniel Lowe wasn't necessarily a fastball beast. Now, he was fine against righties, but I think the Rangers saw an opportunity to add more power against righties. And so anyway, I think with Nathaniel Lowe, it just there was an opportunity because he is a good player, right? We always want to trade four guys and we want to give up nothing. Well, you got to give to get. And so, you know, the Rangers were able to trade Nathaniel Lowe and have the Nationals take on, you know, all of his presumptive salary post-arbitration. In so doing, they get Robert Garcia, who I think is going to be, you know, a decent part at minimum of the bullpen. We can talk more about him in a second. But it's also opened up some money for the Rangers to go and make other moves. And while it has not been officially report or officially announced yet, you know, reports earlier this morning surfacing that the Rangers have signed Jock Peterson, who helps address some major needs in their lineup.
Okay, so let's go to Jock Peterson. What is
celebrate Hanukkah?
Yeah,
in case you're wondering.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Big time high school player.
I was wondering why Walchuk was so fired up
huge.
About this.
He was he was a big time recruit for USC. We thought we had him. He committed to USC.
Yeah.
He got drafted in the 11th round. Typically, you might not sign out of high school if you're drafted in the 11th round, but the Dodgers paid him a whole lot of money relative to what an 11th rounder makes, and it's obviously worked out nicely for him.
Well, what are the Rangers getting in Jock Peterson at this stage?
Yeah, this stage of his career, they're getting a guy who, you know, he can play every once in a while in the field, but, you know, he's probably best used as a DH, and he is one of the best right-handed pitching mashers in baseball. He's a left-handed hitter, and one of the things he does that I think will get overlooked that Nathaniel Lowe did such a good job of is see pitches, draw walks, work the count. The Rangers have a very aggressive lineup. Seager, Simeon, Young, Jake Berger, who's now a part of it, Adolis Garcia, if he's going to be a part of it. These are all very aggressive hitters, and you need some guys who are a little more patient to balance it out. Evan Carter can be a part of that balance. Jock Peterson will be a part of that balance. On top of that, I mentioned that the Rangers struggled against fastballs and they struggled against righties. Well, there are very few free agents out there. Obviously, Juan Soto is on this list, but very few free agents out there.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Other than Juan Soto, who really addressed that to the degree that Jock Peterson is able to address that. He is, I mean, when I say he is one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball against right-handed pitching, you might think, well, Jared, that's silly. I mean, you know, what about all these other guys? I mean, we don't hear about Jock Peterson like we hear about, you know, some of the other names. That's because he is a platoon player, and a lot of the other names are everyday players. That's the long side of the platoon, right? You're going to face more righties than you are lefties. Jock Peterson, there were 11 players in baseball last year who ranked in the top 15 against right-handed pitching and slugging on base and OPS. 10 all-stars last year, and then Jock Peterson. I mean, he is that good of a hitter against righties, and it's not just last year. If you look at his last 3 years, it's when he's really started to tick up. He, you know, hits for average against righties, gets on base, hits for power. You know, you ask, well, it seems too good to be true. Well, you know, we talked about this a lot towards the end of last season. You are not going to pay nearly as much for a platoon player dollar for dollar than you will for an everyday player. And so, you know, that is, if you want to call it a wart, that's the thing some teams maybe don't want to pay. You know, almost the reported deal is 2 years and just under $40 million. they might not want to or have the means to pay that much for a platoon player. The Rangers obviously do, and he absolutely fits the needs that they have, and I expect him to be right in the middle of that order anytime the Rangers face a right-handed starter.
Hey, Jared, I was, you know, we talked about, you mentioned like Milner, the pitcher, mm-hmm. and then also I want to bring up Garcia, and my scout buddies in baseball were telling me these dudes have like funky kind of deliveries to them, like, you know, like sidearm kind of deliveries. And is there something to that? Are the Rangers trying something different? Is there a philosophy if, like, hey, now all of a sudden you got two dudes that are kind of got those weird, funky deliveries?
Yeah, so there are a couple of schools of thought here, and you know this, Brad. It's when you're building a team, every, you know, in any sport, their philosophies, and there's not one right philosophy, but when a team has success, you know, monkey see, monkey want, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a team like the Mariners. The Mariners really kind of leaned into the idea that, you know, they were looking for a very certain type of pitcher with a certain release point and a certain set of stuff, thinking that, hey, you know, at the end of the day, this is what is going to optimize a pitcher's chances for success. So why not seek out those types of pitchers? And that's the low three quarters release point with a you know, heavy rise fastball. And those guys have been really successful. There are other teams out there who believe that the more different arm angles, the more different looks you can show hitters over the course of a game, a series, and if it's within a division, multiple series over the course of the year, the better off you are. You know, there's a reason why relievers, all pitchers, the more you see them, the more you're going to succeed against them, in theory, right? But not necessarily the case individual, you know, by individual, but that's why first time through, second time through, third time through, fourth time through, the data shows that the more experience or exposure you get to a pitcher, the better off you're going to be as a hitter. Well, it's no different, you know, even though not every pitcher is built the same, if you get a lot of the same looks, one school of thought is it could increase your chances or opportunities for success. And so give people different looks. And even, you know, Milner and Garcia, even if it, you know, maybe a similar funkiness, different collection of things, right? Milner is a big ground ball guy. He's the guy, you guys remember, you know, Sam Dyson, yes. The Rangers, when they needed a ground ball, Sam Dyson was the guy, right? Mm-hmm. Now, again, different stuff than Sam Dyson, but Milner's a guy, you need a ground ball, Hobie Milner can help get you that. Robert Garcia is more of a changeup guy. You know, that's why he succeeds as a lefty against right-handed hitters, and then left on left, he goes fastball slider. So, you know, right there, you got two lefties, but they bring different things to the table, and there is some thought that, you know, mixing that up really helps a team when you look at the pitching staff or just the bullpen or however you want to break it down as a whole, as opposed to building it individually.
Jared Sandler with us here on The Fan. Rangers signed right-handed pitcher Sean Armstrong as well in the last hour. What do you know about him?
Yeah, you know, one-year deal, guy who maybe it's always tough to know with a reliever's numbers because, you know, Robert Garcia's ERA doesn't really demonstrate the type of success he had last year. Sean Armstrong, you know, spent last season split with two clubs, but he's a guy who, you know, has spent time in the Tampa Bay system, and like they do with a lot of pitchers, they, you know, find a way to optimize success. And I think the Rangers, you know, deserve credit. We talked about this for a few years now, that they've done a much better job of taking, you know, veterans, bringing them in and either, you know, helping them continue to do what they do or allowing them to take a step in the right direction. They did it even last year, you know, with David Robertson and Kirby Yates, with, you know, how good those guys had been in the past, but the steps forward that they took while with the Rangers. And I think Sean Armstrong's just another guy with major league experience. He's a veteran and someone, you know, Chris Young, I think, said it best. And he didn't say what I'm about to say to lead. You know, Chris Young didn't say, well, this guy is going to just make our bullpen the best bullpen in the league or anything. But what he did say was it's going to raise the floor of our bullpen. And I think that's important. I think the depth and the reliable depth that they're starting to build is important. And what's next now is to try and help that ceiling and help, you know, help make sure they're going to be able to get outs 22 through 27 you know, over the course of a game. And I think those moves are what's going to come. You know, I don't know if the next few days, next few weeks, but that's still, I think, on the shopping list for the Rangers.
Awesome, Jared. Thanks so much for the time, man. And happy holidays to you. Happy Hanukkah.
Hey. Yeah, you guys as well. Take care.
Yes, sir. There he goes. Jared Sandler, as the Rangers continue to make some moves. We see Chris Young was talking to the media, says that the Rangers did meet with Roki Sasaki and the agent last week in person. So holding out a little bit of hope for that. Hopefully Kirby Yates returns as well. Got to have that beast closer. But the Rangers not going status quo here.
No.
They're shaking some things up. Jock Peterson, very, very exciting stuff. Okay, let's go ahead and tee up a Victory Monday edition of Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Heating and Air.
Yeah, we're going to do a little bit. Let's talk about the Cowboys defense to start this one out, and then we'll catch the offense. We'll do that next.